We put premium on our children because they are the basis of the future. And the Bible says, out of the babes and suckling, as thou ordained strength, that you may steal the enemy and the avenger. You see, the little Jeremy Abuloye gave one of the best testimonies this morning. Can we remember the testimony she gave? He gave. Say, thank God for waking me up. Do you know that's one of the best testimonies anybody can have? It is he who wakes up that can go to work. It is he who wakes up that can pursue contracts. It is he who wakes up that can begin to say he has no aspirations. The he that wakes up, that can go up and down doing things here and there and serving the Lord. The story was told. I can't remember whether I read it again now or online, or maybe I had a part of a message, but I remember it vividly. That somebody said, if someone tells you he's going to give you $1 million today, will you be happy or not? If you know you will be happy, lift up your hand. How many of you will be happy? Somebody said, I'm going to give you $1 million. Okay, put down your hands. But if someone said, okay, I will give you $1 million, but after taking down $1 million, you will start to breathe. If you know you still take that $1 million, raise up your hand. Nobody. Meaning, breathing is more valuable than what? So, when you wake up in the morning, God has given you a gift that is bigger and greater than what anybody can give you. So, let's put that for our children. He gave one of the most beautiful testimonies this morning. So this morning we will go into the, I want to specially recognize the presence of our guest minister, the children evangelist, who are here powerfully to bless us. And I want to start by introducing to us our mommy, Olurumbi Margaret. And I want to introduce to us also our brother, Ibitoye Babatunde. And I want us to stand before the Lord, put hands together for the Lord, as I invite this morning our guest minister, our brother, the man of God, Ibitoye Babatunde, as he minister to us this morning. Stand on your feet and put hands together for the Lord. Children!
I would like us to stand as we take this song to worship the Lord. Almighty God, Almighty God, our generation shall praise your name. Our generation shall praise your name. Our generation shall praise your name. Our generation shall praise your name.
Amen. Father, it's our prayer this morning that our generation will praise your name in the name of Jesus. Lord, as you bring your word to us, Father, I ask that the entrance of your word will give light and understanding to every heart this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, glorify your name. As we lift you up this morning, draw men to yourself in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for this great opportunity and privilege to bring to us the Word of God. And I'm also grateful to the leadership of this church for giving me this platform. My prayer is that the Lord Himself will reach out to you individually in Jesus' name. I'll be speaking on the roles of parents in raising arrows, godly arrows, roles of parents in raising arrows for God. And I'll quickly read from Psalm chapter 127, which is our theme text. Psalm chapter 127, from verse 1. Unless the Lord built the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemy at the gate. My prayer this morning is that in the day of battle, you will not be put to shame in Jesus' name. I want us to note that the first thing the psalmist wants us to know is that when God is not in place, when God is not inclusive in our effort to raise our children, our effort becomes futile. Our effort will be in vain. So we need to see that God Himself is the foundation for raising godly children. The knowledge of God is fundamental to Christian parenting or godly parenting. The bedrock of raising children that will become arrows in the hands of God is knowing God. When a child becomes an arrow, that is the realization of the purpose of God. God brings everyone into this world so that with him or her, he can defeat his enemy. And you know, God has only one enemy. Others are just agents of the enemy of God. Satan, the devil, is the enemy of God. He is the one who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy the work of God. But the Bible says, for this same reason, Jesus, the Son of God, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So please, it is important for us to know that when God is not in the equation, when God is not involved, when God is absent from our lives, from our home, when God is not in the church, raising godly children becomes impossible. My prayer is that you and I will become united with God. You know, Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are what? Possible. You cannot even know your role as a parent if you don't know God. You know, many people in church think they know God. I was surprised when Philip said to Jesus, imagine Philip, a disciple of Jesus, someone who has been with Jesus, eating with Jesus, he has accompanied Jesus to outreaches, and yet he asked, show us the Father. It is amazing that at that point in the journey of his life, even as a close associate of Jesus, he did not know the Father. That is almost incredible. Almost, it's difficult to believe. So I would not be surprised that we may be so familiar with God and yet we don't know him. Because we cannot give to our children what we don't have. As a school teacher and as a child evangelist, I wonder many times at the failure and the inability of parents to show their children God. I want us to know that you cannot make your children an arrow for God. You can't. It is the job of God. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, follow me and I will make you. It is God that makes. All he needs is our cooperation. All he needs is for us to be co-laborer, co-builder with him. So when a man does not know God, when a man cannot follow God's instruction, that man cannot raise an arrow for God. And let me quickly point this to us. In Psalm chapter 127, the Bible describes children as arrows in the hand of a warrior. And it is important for us to know that arrows are made. Arrows are sharpened. They are ordinary, maybe metal or wood, that are sharpened in order to achieve a particular purpose. And who is the maker? God is the maker. So, the first thing I want us to know, and the first thing I think God wants us to understand, is that we need to know Him. You know, Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Many parents today are in agony. Many parents are frustrated. They've done so many things to make their children become what they think they should become. The more they try, the more they fail. And the reason for the failure is simply because they do not know Him that makes. It is when you know Him that the making of your children becomes easy. And that's why the Bible says that our effort is useless. In vain, you wake up early. In vain, you toil. Except God builds. My prayer this morning is that God will bring us into an experience of knowing Him in Jesus' name. It is that experience that the children can interact with. You know, children don't just do what they are told to do. They do what they see you do. As I speak now, by the grace of God, my son and I probably are ministering simultaneously. But while I was trying to get him ready for the ministration, I realized that even though he has watched me minister at the morning devotion, he has watched me minister in meetings, yet there was need for me to deliberately and prayerfully bring him to an encounter with God before he can be an arrow in God's hand. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. So, understanding God is the key to godly parenting. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father. No one can know the Father. No one can experience the Father except through me." God is the perfect parenting model. You cannot give your children godly parenting if you have not known God as your Father. The Bible says that when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he told them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who is in heaven.'" Until the Heavenly Father becomes your Father, you cannot father a godly child. Like the child told us, you may end up bullying the child, thinking you are what? You are training the child. Many parents, in an effort to raise their children to be godly, they end up abusing their children. I am not saying that we should not discipline our children. I'm not saying we should not correct them. But when you correct your children out of love, when you are trying to train your children and you you are not in God. You know, the Bible says that God is love. You cannot love your child. You cannot bring your child to God if you are not in God. And so Philip said, show us the Father and it will be enough for us. When I read that scripture, I was touched. Even though at that point, his knowledge of God was incomplete, but by revelation, he knew that all he needed to know at that point in his life was to know who? The Father. That was enough. I don't know what you have been trying. Maybe you have some children. Even a child that is not up to a year old. I have seen a mother getting a special phone. Tab. Because the mother will not have time for the child. They will load many things on the tab and leave the child with the tab for hours so that they can be free to do what they wanted to do. Imagine that God leave you. How will you survive? So, a mother will do that simply because he does not understand God. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That means every effort to bring our children to Christ without being a branch of the Lord Jesus amounts to nothing. It will not work. The child might be pretending while the child is with you, but let the child leave your house. The test of parenting is not when the child is with you. It's when the child is not with you. Will your child still say that your God is his God? And that was why God could boast about Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Let's quickly read that scripture. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Okay, let me read from verse 18. From verse 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am to do? Abraham was so dear to God that God would not do a thing without discussing with Abraham. Some few days ago, a brother woke up to me and he told me that he had a dream. And that in that dream, he saw that I was crying. He was afraid telling me what the dream was. But the dream was that I lost a child and I was crying. And he encouraged me to pray. Now, when he told me that, most times I know that when the devil wants to strike, God reveals it to what? To me. I know that that battle was a battle God has won. God just wanted me to know what was happening in the realm of the world, of the spirit. When you are ignorant of what is happening in the realm of the spirit, you become a victim. And immediately, I called my wife and the children, and we started praying. And I knew that the battle is what? It's over. Abraham was a man that the Bible described as a friend of God. And God will not do a thing without telling him. Look at what the Bible says about Abraham in verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the law by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised. There is a promise of God on your life and on your family. And that promise is not only for you. Like the Bible says in the book of Acts, it is for you and your what? And your children. Even those who will come to believe. And how will the promise of God come to pass in the life of Abraham? God said, I know he will command. If God cannot command you, you can't command your children. If you cannot take instruction from God, you may shout at your child, but the truth of the matter is that it will be difficult for your children to take instruction from you. Because life beget life. May the Lord bring you and I to a point where God's command will be our priority in Jesus' name. Understanding God is so key to raising children that will become arrows in the hand of God. Understanding God goes beyond having a head knowledge of who he is, but experiencing him. Coming to him through faith in the Lord Jesus. Complete obedience to his instructions. Can you imagine parents telling the child, you have two birthdays. You have the official birthday and the what? The original one. So when you ask a child, how old are you? The child can give you two answers. Such a parent cannot raise a godly child. Such a parent cannot be a good example to the child. Now, the second thing God wants us to understand is that as a parent, it is important that we understand the investment of God in our lives. The Bible describes children as God's heritage. They are God's properties. God owns them. And they are gifts to us. We must know that the children God has given to us, they are not our property. They are not your home. God has only giving them to you in trust, in confidence. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2. In Exodus chapter 2, let me read from verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. Verse 4. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While a young woman walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent a servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wage." So the woman took the child and nursed him. God was speaking through Pharaoh's daughter. As she spoke, I heard God say to the mother of Moses, "Take this child away." You know, at that point, the child was no longer belonging to the mother. The mother has lost the right over the child. That is to teach us that whether they are your biological children or they are your students in primary, secondary, or higher institution, whether they are your housemaid living with you, God is saying to us, take this child and nurse him for me. I am the owner. I'm only giving you the responsibility of the what? Of nursing the child. And I will pay you. The Lord will pay you in Jesus' name. Over your labor, over your child, your labor over your children will not be in vain in Jesus' name. God is saying, I will pay you. Your labor of love will not be in vain. It was God speaking through Pharaoh's daughter. And he said to the mother, nurse this child. As a farmer, I have a practical understanding of nursing plants, nurseries. In fact, the truth is that nursing the child is one of the most difficult stages of the child's development. That is why when a new baby comes into a family, and probably that's the first baby, the mother of the child is not left to nurse the child. There's always an elderly person, the grandma, because the mother is probably inexperienced as far as that job is what? Concerned. God is saying, nurse this child for me. And that was what Jesus also told Peter after he rose from the dead. And he saw Peter where he was fishing. He said, "Peter, do you love me more than this?" Parents, do you love your children more than your career? Many parents have abandoned their children because they want to pursue. I'm not saying you should not pursue your career. I'm not saying you should not reach the peak of your career. But do you know that assignment God has given to you is an assignment that can determine whether you go to hell or heaven? Some parents may go to hell because they fail. To meet the expectation of God over the lives of their children. And you know, the growth of children is irreversible. The growth of children is what? When you fail to do certain things at the right time, the life of the child becomes undone, probably throughout the lifetime of that child. You remember the son of Saul, Mephibosheth. When the nurse was trying to take him and escape, the nurse
carried him probably at the back.
But unfortunately, the boy fell off. And he was crippled. He was crippled for life. Your absence, your inavailability in the life of your child at critical moment can make your child crippled for life. And you know, a cripple cannot become an arrow. When I'm talking of being crippled, it's not just being physically crippled. Whether physically, spiritually, mentally, or emotionally. So, God is saying, nurse this child for me. And you know, when God was telling the mother to nurse the child, what was in the mind of God? God knew that this is the boy that is going to bring the Israelites out of the land of what? Slavery. What God was saying is that make this child an arrow, because I'm sending him back to the palace of what? Pharaoh, for the release of my people. And it is amazing that in the few months that Moses spent with his mother, the mother was able to plant God in the life of Moses. When Moses became an adult, Moses never forgot that he is an Israelite. Moses knew that even though I am living in the palace of Egypt, in fact, the way Moses was brought up, he could probably become a Pharaoh. But he chose not to, because he knew that was not the destiny of God for his life. He knew there's a greater glory. So God is saying to you and I, take this child and do what? And nursing for me. Nursing requires a lot of effort, sacrifice, being available. We were told this morning, when the children were ministering, when they were talking, I learned a lot from them. You cannot nurse a child when you are not available. If you don't know what your child is passing through, you can't help that child. Some parents will drop their child in school as early as 7 o'clock. And by 8 o'clock, I am not exaggerating, I'm a teacher. Sometimes you will see the child at the school gate by 7:38. And I will call the parent, your child is still here. Some parents will say, let him come home by himself. I am not exaggerating. I'm telling you what I experienced. The father will say, I came for him. I could not find him. Let him find his way home. I have to be begging the father. It is risky and dangerous for a female child to move this night. Please come. That is the parent that does not understand the demand of God. And sometimes I wonder why God gave some people children. Yes, I wonder. Because they just want to have the pride that I have a child. They are not ready to be responsible in making that child what God wants that child to be. So we must understand that children are God's heritage, and God has placed them in our hands so that we can nurse them for him. A child activist said, adult irresponsibility is children's vulnerability. Many children are vulnerable. They are exposed to rape, kidnap, and all sorts of demonic attack because parents are not responsible. They are not available. My prayer for you is that the Lord will give you grace, like he gave the wife of Jochebed, the grace to be available to raise godly arrows for him in Jesus' name. Parenting, from my own personal experience, involves a lot of sacrifice. Sometimes, like Jesus said, you have to deny yourself. Sometimes you have to put some things on hold. Sometimes you have to slow down your own personal progress in order to help your child to be better than. You know, I have come to realize that my parents and older parents, many of our grandparents, they were not as educated as the parents of today. Yet, they raised presidents. They raised ambassadors. They raised renowned world pastors and evangelists. But we now have parents that are well-learned. Parents that are highly educated. But when you interact with their children, it is difficult for you to believe that this is the child of a medical doctor. I interact with some children. It is difficult for me to believe that this is the child of a professor. And what is the problem? The problem is that the parents are not available. One of the requirements for God to use any man to achieve his purpose is availability. No matter how talented, how anointed I may be, if I am not available, I am useless as far as God's plan and purpose is concerned. Please, parents, I plead with you, can you be available for your children? Can you be available for them to speak to you and hear you speak back to them? Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So God expects us to nurse the child. Another thing we must understand about our children is that God wants us to create a conducive and a godly environment for them. When I first came to this church and I was received in the children's department, It was a wonderful experience for me. I've been to many churches. I think there are few churches that I've been to that have the kind of facilities that this church has for the children's department. Please, let's put hands together for the Lord. I must say a big thank you to the leadership of this church. The Lord will continue to strengthen you in Jesus' name. Education, whether spiritual or physical, is a product of nature and nurture. Nature is the environment. When you create the right environment for your child, that child easily becomes what God wants him or her to become. So I was not surprised when I saw the children ministry. And I was blessed. I was greatly blessed. Because it is obvious that these children have a right environment. Please, at the home level, at the personal level, let us create a godly environment, a spiritual environment. Let your child see you praying. Let your child see you doing your quiet time. So when you now tell the child, you are old enough to do your quiet time, the child knows what it means. When your child wakes up, what does he see you do? In Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. There is a model, a principle there that the Lord Jesus Christ exemplified. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Creating an environment that is godly for your child has a lot to do with what you do primarily, not what you say. Your actions Your investment in creating the right atmosphere for your child makes your instruction either weak or strong. When your child see you do the right thing, when you ask the child to do it, the child has a perfect understanding because they are good at imitating. I know that most of the things the children did this morning, they must have seen somebody in the church or at home do it. So they were imitating godly example. And Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can you tell your child to imitate you? In all honesty, is your private life the same with your public life? If you lie in the secret and you tell your child to tell the truth, the child will not tell the truth. The child, you see, there's a spiritual connection between our real life and what we want the children to do. So this morning, as we bring this message to a close, God wants us to create a right environment for the children. And the last thing I will discuss is the need for us to pray for our children. That woman went to the judge and told him, please, give me justice. The judge will not listen to her, but she insisted. After some time, the judge said, because this woman will wear me out, let me just give her what she wants. We must be persistent in the place of prayer before we can see our children becoming what God wants them to be. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 to 35, I will not read, but I will just make some few comments on it. Elisha had an experience. The widow that had been so nice to Elisha lost a child. The child died. And Elisha was called upon. The Bible says Elisha took the child, locked himself up with the child, and he prayed for the dead child. He prayed with everything within him. The Bible says that the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. If you have done all that God wants you to do, and it seems as if things are not working the way you expect for your child, then pray. I have seen prayer turn things around when effort fails. And my prayer is that God will make us praying parents in Jesus' name. The power to pray the purpose of God into reality in the lives of our children, the Lord will grant unto us in Jesus' name. Shall we stand on our feet as we pray together? I want you to talk to God in this few moments. Where exactly are you as a parent? If you are here and you are yet to know the Father, it is difficult for you to father a godly child. Will you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know you as my Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. If you can decide this morning to receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you can invite him into your life, he will give you the power to become a child of God. And making your child, children, a child of God and an arrow in the hand of God becomes easy. So this morning I invite you to come to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you are still living in sin and you are not a good example for your child. God is calling you to repentance. One of Fela Nipulako's Kuti said in the news recently, "My father was a good role model, but he was not a good father." Yes. What will your child say about you? You want the child to be truthful, but you always lie. God is calling you to repent. Will you come to Jesus and say, "Lord, have mercy on me"? You may not yet be a parent, but I believe that you desire one day to be a parent. This is the time for you to submit your life to the fatherhood of God, so that you also can be able to say, "My Father who art in heaven." In Jesus' name we pray. Now I want us to commit ourselves into God and as parents. "Lord, you have handed over these children to me. Help me to nurse them for you. Give me the grace to create the right environment, the godly atmosphere, for my child to grow." Joseph and Mary, they understood this. At the age of 12, Jesus already knew he had to go about his father's business. It was not automatic. It was because he saw a good example. They took him to the temple, and it was difficult for him to leave the temple, because you already had an encounter with God, the Father. Ask God to give you grace. "Lord, help me to nurse my children for you." Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lord, we thank you for the word you have sent to us this morning. You are not a man that you lie. You are not the son of man that should repent. You are promised and you will never fail. The grace to agree with you, to nurse these children for you, the grace to be connected with you, so that through us, the life of God and the purpose of God will be fulfilled in the life of our children. Father, grant unto us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.